Now, I know that a lot of folks say that I haven't done a good job at communicating my accomplishments to the public.
Because y'all motherfuckers don't listen!
Since being in office, we've created 3 million new jobs.
3 million new jobs!
We ended the war in Iraq.
Ended a war, y'all! We ended a war! Remember that?
These achievements should serve as a reminder that I am on your side.
I am not a Muslim!
And that my intentions, as your president, are coming from the right place.
They coming from Hawaii, which is where I'm from, which is in the United States of America, y'all, okay? This is ridiculous. I have a birth certificate. I have a birth certificate. I have a hot, diggity, doggity, mama say, mama samu, makusa birth certificate, you dumbass crackers.
Okay, so, Luther, yeah. Rope it in.
Yeah, dial it back, Luther, damn. Break!
To the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful, beautiful roundtable in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Lehman, Tash Mosley, Leisha Mack, John and Triana Wood, and our brother Malcolm Darrell. And tonight's topic is the Black vote. Are Black people going to get to the polls this year? It's the next 4 years. We came out like in record numbers 4 years ago. Are we going to do it again?
Yeah, this is John Wood speaking. Obviously, the question isn't whether or not Black people will vote for Barack Obama, because Black people will vote overwhelmingly for him as a percentage of the Black people who vote. Black people, you know, most of us are Democrats, fairly liberal, and Barack Obama is the first Black president. It's not hard to figure out. The question is, like Kim said, whether or not the turnout will be of the record setting nature that it was in 2008. President Obama needs for that to be the case because his share of the white vote has diminished pretty considerably since 2008. And he's risked it in some senses by coming out in favor of gay marriage. There are plenty of social conservative Black people who are very hesitant to support him because of that. Now, they may come around, but I think that it is an open question at this point whether or not we will turn out, not just because of that, but because of the economy and because some of us think Obama hasn't paid enough attention to our specific needs. It is an open question whether or not they will come out in record-setting numbers. I think it's possible, quite possible, that they will not.
I agree. I think we'll definitely still have the lion's share of the vote in terms of numbers, but how many of us actually come out this time is different. I don't hear the young people talking about it like they were 4 years ago at all. I feel like the energy is dropped. I'm disappointed because I feel like our expectations, I think everybody, not just Black people, our expectations as a nation of Obama in this first term have been absolutely monumental considering what he inherited. And I think the only reason we're heaping this level of responsibility on him in some ways might be because he's Black. The pressure is just on and on even more for you to do more and be better. It's always that way when it's Black people in a situation, if we're in positions of power and if we're pitting ourselves against the other, we always have to be greater, bigger, better, stronger. So if he was able to galvanize this many people behind him 4 years just to believe in his ideal of hope, then he should have been able to knock some shit out the park in 4 years. That's what folks, I think, really think. He really built people's spirits up that way. And I think what he's done has been amazing. On the health care factor alone, he has my vote. Because we need that. For me, as a mom of a child, getting into, you know, well, I'm not going to just put my age out there, but I'm at that point where I don't want to say my age. How about that? And so dealing with health, my parents getting older, my grandmother getting older, I don't want to even think about anybody dealing with any kind of struggles when it comes to that. That's something that all of us as Americans should just have a right to, is health care, without question.
Yeah, this is Chris. The answer to your question, no. We are not going to come out because before years ago, it was only white men who were president. So it was a lot about, yes, we can. Yes, we can have somebody who's not a white man as president. We did it. Okay. The second term for none of us doesn't mean as much as, like, well, we wanted him to get in. Right. So he's in there. All right.
Now he needs to figure it out.
Right. And, yeah, I do think off healthcare alone was big because that's one of those, like, if it turns out well, I mean, nobody knows how it's going to turn out. If it turns out really well, his name will be cemented for that.
What scares me, too, is because us not coming out in numbers, and as Wood said, he needs us to come out in those numbers in order to win because this race is so close because Republicans, or not even Republicans because it's not the entire party, but just the racist fucks that can't stand the black person in this particular place. I heard a woman on NPR, an older white female veteran. They asked her what she felt about Obama, and her answer was, and I quote, "I can't stand him. I can't stand to look at him. I can't stand to look at his wife. It don't look like what the president and the first lady are supposed to look like. We need to get back to what that's supposed to look like." Now, that only means one thing. That only means one motherfucking thing. She wants to see white people in that position. And on that alone, you'll have some white folks who thought, just off the strength that John McCain was white, obviously he's going to win because the president's always been white. Those that didn't get off their ass 4 years ago, getting off their ass this time to make sure we get this black man out of office.
Can I just talk about, this is Malcolm. I think black people, and not just black people, America needs to get out and vote. Because that is just our right, and I'm really getting tired of us taking for granted things that people die for, stand in line for days for in the 21st century, and we act as if this is just some easy act that we don't have to do if we don't want to. My concern about the vote is that people are so concerned about being out here trying to function and cash out because they have condos on their wrists, that those are the important people that need to be a part of this election. The euphoria surrounding President Obama's election in 2008 is exactly what I just said, euphoria. So I don't know about if we invested in people really understanding the political process. And I'm sure that wasn't the point. The point was to get the vote, get people excited around, yes, we can, 2008, we're going to win, we're going to be the first black president, yada, 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 first president of color, period. But if you don't understand politics, see, a lot of people in his first and second year weren't even supportive and jumped off the bandwagon because they don't understand politics. In order for President Obama to even have a second term, he has to be so middle of the ground so that he doesn't really offend any, not only does he not offend the base, but he doesn't really offend really those independent voters who really helped him get into office, that like taking drastic liberal policy and putting that in your first term would be political suicide. So first of all, a lot of us don't even understand the process and don't understand politics. So that's one thing. I want us to all just study up, read a paper, just get Wikipedia, just the democratic, the election process, voting, and just politics in general. It's a lot more savvy than a lot of us are aware of. And so we make comments and we don't realize the importance of getting out the vote. And when you do understand that, then it's not a question of will you come out. It's a matter of how many more people can I come out, get to come out with me.
And to piggyback on that point, I think it's important that what he has done be reiterated to people, the things that would help them, one being health care. After health care, he passed, he added $10 billion for student aid, you know, and yep. He changed the way in which student loans are processed so that people could, you know, decide to get an education and go into a career that may not be as lucrative as another and not be strapped down with all this debt. He repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which basically meant that more Americans had the right to be themselves. What else did he do? I mean, there's, the financial law. He single-handedly saved
the car industry.
Saved the car industry. By all measures, his first term has been wildly more successful than even Bill Clinton's first term. I mean, if the metric of a president is, and it winds up being, is the bills that they wound up getting passed, he has done far more on the strength
let's not
on
forget about the Supreme
the
Court.
Liberal side. He's done far more than even Bill Clinton has.
Right.
And there's another thing. There's another huge. Oh, the Consumer Protection Agency. That's huge. I mean, especially coming after the financial crisis. But I think as it works is most people, in talking about him as a president, they're inclined to talk about his shortcomings first and foremost instead of talking about his achievements. And if I think it's really incumbent upon those people who want to see him get elected and know that poor turnout on our side will be the will result in him not getting reelected, I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we reiterate all the things he's done to benefit our individual lives.
Hear, hear.
Right. Well, being being something of a moderate or a centrist Republican myself, I have a somewhat different evaluation of Obama's performance. But you are definitely right, Tosh, that legislatively speaking, Barack Obama is the most successful president of all time, I think more so than Lyndon Johnson or Franklin Roosevelt for a single term. Of course, some people would use that fact to argue that that might showcase just how ineffective he's been in some areas. Look, my own personal opinion is that President Obama is a competent, intelligent individual. I think that if we were in a different economic climate, it would be easier for me to cast my vote for him, because back in the 90s, for instance, you talk about Bill Clinton, a lot of people look at Clinton's economy and say, well, hey, taxes were higher under Clinton. We had a roaring economy. But, of course, Clinton came in during the period where the Soviet Union fell and Microsoft and the dot-com industry had just sort of bustled up, you know. So it was easier to raise taxes back in the 90s and still have a prosperous economy. Now, that's one reason to say, well, hey, you know, Barack Obama has done the best he's been able to do in a faltering economy. And I think that he has. But for some of us, it's just a question of what sort of policies work best economically. I mean, do you pour a lot of money into propping up state governments and into government spending? Or do you reduce the tax burden on not just corporations and on the supply side, but on middle-income and lower-income Americans, too, in a long-term sort of way? You know?
I want to address...
Malcolm is right that you have to be educated on these issues, though, because whether you vote for Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, or even if you don't vote at all, I think that it is important for your vote or your non-vote to be an informed one, you know, because it's not good to not vote just because you don't care to know anything about the issues and you just think they're all the same. And it's not good to vote just because you're following the bandwagon of what other people are telling you to do. And I think that's something that we need to drive home.
You threw in one point that it just really stuck in my crawl, and I want to address. You mentioned, the policy and insinuated that maybe Obama would be interested in propping up state governments, and that's like, you know, the Democratic Party platform. I just want to point out that part of the reason why the jobs numbers are so poor right now is because a number of the states across the union have let go of a lot of their public sector employees. And so the reason during the conventions you kept hearing private sector jobs is because we now have a bunch of teachers. Of course, the firemen and the policemen always stay safe, especially the policemen, because you got to be tough on crime, and so you can't fire any policemen. But a lot of the public sector jobs are gone, and we've seen that when the states don't have the help to keep the infrastructure of safety, welfare, education in place, that it hurts the entire country and the entire economy of that state. I just wanted to point that out, right, since you mentioned it.
Right. Well, I don't know if we... In terms of the public sector job propping up, see, the question is, how do you best recover from an economic recession? And that's exactly my problem. You're right that the public sector has been shedding jobs, and that's part of what's pulling down the overall economic, the overall employment rate as it currently stands. But that's exactly why you shouldn't have put so much money into propping up public sector jobs in the first place, is because unless you can generate a long-term increase in revenue, which in my opinion generally comes from lowering aggregate rates over the long term, then you don't have, paradoxically, an increase in revenue coming from more economic activity, more employment, more growth, to be able to pay these public sector workers with tax revenue. Instead, what Obama did is...
No, but the revenue issue is a tax issue. We've been getting rid of some of our revenue by giving back tax breaks to the wealthy Americans. So if you're going to mention revenue, I just want you to mention that we're short on revenue, even by Clinton's standards, which were considered, which were nowhere near as high as Reagan's standards, which is the benchmark for the Republican Party. We're short on revenue because the opposing party is somehow married to the idea that we can't have a tax that's reasonable, say 33%. I mean, I'm saying that very sarcastically, because 33% is a very reasonable tax rate for a billionaire. But for some reason, we're short on revenues, and the people who are feeling the brunt of it are all of us, and who's in this low economy. And but the people who are responsible for it somehow are the Democrats because of their policies.
The current rate is 36%. But I get your point. But the mistake that you make is dividing the revenue side of the issue from the growth side of the issue. Because increasing taxes is a contractionary policy. You're taking money out of the economy to increase taxes. You might put it back in one form or another. But what that generally does is that shrinks growth. And I believe that that's been proven.
Will you acknowledge me on this? Increased taxes during Reagan and growth. When he increased taxes, growth happened. There was a tax increase during Clinton, and growth happened. So I just want to get over the misnomer that somehow having a higher tax. Oh wait. Even during the 50s, when taxes were something absurd like 70%. That's when we had the highest growth in American history. So I just want to get over the misnomer that people who are on the right-wing side keep saying that somehow increase in taxes prevents growth. That's not true.
No, it is true. It is true. But let me go over.
Can you cite something?
Yes, let me go over the issues. Wait, first of all, you said Ronald Reagan cut taxes. Ronald Reagan raised taxes. Ronald Reagan sacrificed a partial raise of the capital gains tax from something like 28 to 32% or something like that, which represented the raise side of the deal he made with the Democrats. But he took income taxes out of every different bracket and cut them more than 50%. So, over the course of Reagan's administration, the top rate went from 70 to 20%. The next rate went from 50 to 30%. The rate below that went from 30 to 15 or 12 or something like that, and on down. So the aggregate effect of Reagan's policies was to reduce taxes considerably. The capital gains increase was part of a deal he made with the Democrats, and that was good because the Democrats and Republicans, unlike today, we're working together. But the fact is, mathematically speaking, no. In aggregate, the tax burden went way down. And you're right, there's significant growth. Now, you said Clinton raised taxes. And you're right, Clinton did raise taxes. On the income level, he raised taxes fairly significantly, from something like 32 to 39% or something like that. I forget the exact number. And you did have economic growth during the 90s. The greatest period of economic growth in the 90s was the last couple of years of Clinton's presidency, after him, and at the prodding of Newt Gingrich and the House Republicans, decreased the capital gains rate from 28 to 20%, and you saw that the income from capital gains revenue increased dramatically, and so did economic growth. The reason Clinton's tax increases worked so well in the 90s, though, is because the economy was stronger to begin with. You had the fall of the Soviet Union, all those foreign policy dollars coming back into the country, and you had the dot-com bubble.
Well, by that metric, how is it working out for countries that are in recession, mm-hmm. who've decided to cut their tax rate or to have austerity measures? Where's the growth there? Because by that rule, those people should be experiencing great growth in Great Britain as a result of, you know, the economy is shrinking, so now we need to give the job providers. Because essentially what you're saying is, let the people who own the capital, not the laborers, let the people who own the capital, let them have their money so they can create more jobs and trickle it down to the rest of us. But that's not happening in Great Britain.
Well, Can I interject just real quick?
I just want to address
what he's saying about Europe. But yeah.
Okay, honestly, we'll get back to this. Just listening to your eloquent debate is the reason why I do not want Mitt Romney to be the president of the United States. And I say that because nothing in his character, in his leadership, when you look at his record in Massachusetts, and you look at the incumbent candidate, the complexity in which you guys discuss this issue, I personally, beyond being a black person, this is just me being an educated person, listening to both platforms, looking at both platforms, I entrust the complexity of all of this at this moment in time to President Barack Hussein Obama. I don't entrust that to Mitt Romney. And that, for me, is a reason why I and it may sound trivial.
So you don't think he's intelligent enough to synthesize stuff like this?
Okay, I'm not saying I don't think he's intelligent enough, but there was a discussion about character and who people are. And when tough decisions have to be made in the White House, I am concerned about people's character. And I don't care about who you slept with and blah, 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 you're a Mormon and all that stuff. I'm talking about the decisions you've made as an individual before your political career. Mm-hmm. Who were you before? Because that's who you are when the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I think that's a totally legitimate point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking at two people and saying, I estimate this person's character or his mental ability to cope with difficult situations or problems this way, and to vote largely on the basis of that. Now, I think that Mitt Romney, while he's kind of flip-flopped on a number of things over the course of his career, I think he's an intelligent person. I think he's basically an honorable person, as much as politicians tend to be, and it's sort of a low bar sometimes.
But nevertheless,
I think that he would do his best for the country as a whole in as much as he has the wisdom to do it. And I think the same thing about Barack Obama. I don't question either of their integrity at the end of the day. I like them both. Personality-wise, if this was just a personality contest, I would vote for Barack Obama, but I have serious policy questions. Like, Tosh, you're talking about Europe and how it is the fact that they've embraced austerity members, their economy is collapsing. And I hear Paul Krugman and other very intelligent people like yourself on the left making this point, but it sort of baffles me, because the reason their economy started to go off the cliff in the first place is because the level of public control of their economies and the debt that they had accrued had caused investment and resources going to the government paid back out in benefits. It caused this entire system to come to the verge of collapse. So I understand the reason why, you know, liberals make the argument that they need to spend more because they need to stimulate growth. But the problem is that spending that much money is what got them into trouble in the first place and made them so vulnerable when the financial system collapsed.
And I hear what you're saying, Wood, but what about the issues that actually affect you directly? So issues of healthcare,
issues that
affect you as a person who was a middle-class father of a little boy.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I was having a conversation with my mother and my brother not too long ago, and the issue of healthcare came up. And I do think that the Affordable Care Act does some good things. It allows kids to stay in their parents' policies for a longer period of time, for one. But see, the problem is that these things come with a cost that hurts in other areas that I think some people who support the president don't necessarily see, and I can give you a perfect example. I used to be a medical technician. I used to operate a thing called a blood filtration machine. And what we would do is we would take blood from the operating field. It's not worth getting to all the gory details of it. But I would work with anesthesiologists and doctors to make sure that patients didn't bleed out during surgery. I went away to Colorado for a year when my wife went to the Army. When I came back, my job wasn't available. And so I'm talking to my mother, and my brother had the same issue because we were in the same business. And she was talking about how great it was that Obamacare allows my brother to stay on her policy longer, which is great. But my brother pointed out the fact, he said, yeah, I'm glad that I get to be on your policy, but I would probably rather have my job back. And see, this is really what it comes down to at the end of the day, because I essentially feel the same way. The company stopped expanding because some of the regulatory burdens and a lot of the expenses that come from Obamacare have made it more expensive for them to expand their operations, to take on extra facilitators like myself, extra technicians for things they don't absolutely need.
John, I'm sorry, before we continue, brother, please. Now, as awesome and intelligent as you are, why are you using Obamacare to refer to the healthcare?
No,
Act?
I don't think there's anything wrong.
Because that, to me, is part of the rhetoric, and that's part of the
If I say the Affordable Care Act, a lot of people don't even know what you're talking about.
I know, but that's what it is. As intelligent as you are, and as much knowledge as you've dropped on this, that's what you would do.
That was an attempt to sort of perpetuate the right-wing rhetoric. Look, if it's a successful policy, you're going to be happy they called it Obamacare. You know, and I'm, by the way,
but it
I'm,
wasn't called Obamacare I, by the Democratic Party. They've been calling it by the name that it was called forever. Yeah, it's only being,
you know, they called Hillary Care. That's what they called that before.
But
Obamacare,
I mean, I feel like the right is now. Now you're, that's what you can use now, Malcolm, because
the Bush tax
it's successful.
Cuts
when people
the Bush have, tax cuts when they were passed. Tell me that.
Hold on.
Can you? Congress
wait, can you? I want to finish it.
Hold on, real quick, honey. You still didn't answer my question, though. I'm asking you how. No, but I'm asking you about the policies that affect You, not your brother. You.
No, I lost. You. No, my job was not available to me when I came back from Colorado for the very same reason he lost his.
Is that the career you were trying to get into for your life?
That wasn't the career I was trying to get into for my life, but I would like to have that job.
But also that was the rationale that the company gave you, because essentially, I bet you at the top end, they were keeping their multi-million dollar salaries. And so what the, like, what was being funneled? What was being funneled?
We're private contractors. It's the hospitals that
were. Okay, yeah. Okay, exactly. Even the hospitals or the insurance companies. I mean, the thing is, this is the second time in this conversation that you decided to say that giving money to the public sector, to the government, or to the state has been the large problem, or to the laborers has been a large problem. Instead of saying that, you know, there's something essentially wrong and corrupt, which we are now finding out, with the way capital is managed in big banks. And you use this with the in referencing, you know, why things are going horribly wrong. You're talking about having to pay out to unions in Europe instead of how the initial money was managed by the capital, by the big banks. And then you've done it here by referencing you losing or you not having a job to come back to. Mm-hmm. When it could be I don't know. It could be, and I'm not trying to be daft or anything, but it could be that someone else had your very job to come back to, and if it was on personality, they just chose to go with, you know, someone else instead of you. I don't know, but I'm saying to reference, to make it seem as if or somehow his policy is the sole reason why you didn't have a job to come back to seems disingenuous. That's all.
Well, you can't say it's disingenuous if you don't know the situation. I find it sort of disingenuous that you would accuse me of being disingenuous about it. Look, yes. It wasn't just us. A lot of the people that were still on the staff started seeing their hours reduced, you know? So look, this isn't a hocus pocus sort of thing. I'm just talking about economics. This isn't a personal sort of thing about, you know, me being prejudiced against unions or governments or public spending or anything like that. The fact of the matter is, when you make it more expensive or more difficult for businesses to do business, you have depressive effects on the economy. Now, that doesn't mean they're not good reasons to regulate sometimes. Exactly. And I think that there are definitely instances where the conservatives want to go too far in deregulating. I'm not saying I completely accept their approach. This is just a matter of margins to me. I think Obama's drifting too far to the left, and if Romney gets elected, he very well might drift too far to the right. I think that Romney is essentially a moderate right guy, which is what I see myself as. I'm worried that the Tea Party will pull him too much farther than that. But as of right now, and again, you want to defend Barack Obama's economic policies, you have to look at what he's doing and tell me that he's really spent these dollars in the wisest of ways. I'll listen to that kind of reasoning, you know?
Look,
but you know, don't tell me I'm being disingenuous by saying that this is the reason for all available evidence that I probably lost my job. I'm not trying to tell a lie. That's what I believe based on the facts that are available to me, and I think the facts are very compelling.
Now, I have a question. I just want to hold on.
The economy is slow, not because the economy is slow.
Well,
that's a huge difference.
I want to ask a question out here because I know we can ask about the health care. I mean, anything that provides change and it might turn out good, we can't act like every goddamn thing about it is going to be great for everybody. Something's going to take a hit, and it's not going to be perfect. But here's my question, a lot of this to the people who are actually out here voting for Obama and feel like he should be an easy choice to win, which I am voting for him. What issues do you think he has shown in the last 4 years that will make it difficult for him to get voted back in again? I mean, look, he's done a good job, but there are a lot of black people who are not feeling him right now.
Well, I mean, there are several. I mean, for me, a huge concern for me as someone whose profession is in the arts is I'm always concerned about how, you know, the arts are affected and what politics, even how they even address the arts in America. But also I think you cannot be ignorant to the fact that, you know, a lot of the black community is conservative when it comes to the issue of same-sex marriage, and that for a lot of people, I don't think, like, if you watch the DNC, whenever there were moments that were highlighting or celebrating this inclusion that includes same-sex marriage, I looked at a lot of the black people, especially a lot of older black people, And they're not feeling that. And so there may be a portion of the electorate that may say, you know what, that's too much for me. Like, that is taking over the line. And it may not be that they will vote for the Republican Party, but they just won't vote at all.
But the issue is, was it the homosexuality issue?
Yeah, I would say, I think that is a major, major issue, particularly within the Black community. And it's an interesting paradigm that he's in right now.
Yeah, let me speak on that. That, to me, is one where I get really frustrated with religion. And with people who go so hard in the paint with their religion that they're willing to not make a choice.
On one topic, mind you.
Off of one topic, because we're having this same conversation with Wood about the one thing that he focused on in terms of where he sees Romney's strength over Obama. But our question to him is, what about all the other topics that affect you? You're going to have a lot of Christians, you know, hardcore Christians who call themselves making this decision from a righteous perspective and choosing not to make a move at all off of one thing that they disagree with when there's tons of other issues that affect them personally. If that is not, like, definitively hypocritical, I don't know what is. That drives me crazy. And if we're talking about Romney and religious values and religious issues, we're talking about a man who's a Mormon. I'm not going to sit here and bang on the Mormon religion, but what I do know is that they were not down with people who look like any of us at this table participating in that religion until 1978. That was the year I was born. Cut it out. Okay, if it's okay for him to run the country, if you're even thinking that that's moderately okay, you should be able to just deal with this one thing that you don't agree with in regards to Obama. Get over yourself.
I actually think most Black people are going to get over it. I don't think it's big enough for most of them. I don't know why, but I just don't get that vibe. I think people are going to vote for him. But I want to piggyback on what you're talking about, Kim, because...
That's Miss Mack.
Because I think that the economy obviously is a big issue, but I think we should all acknowledge right now that nobody has the right answer, because nothing is the answer. So as long as it's up in the air as far as what will work, what won't work, I'm going to go with the person that's kind of going to let me, you know, have an abortion or, you know, let me have freedom in other areas. Because to me, like, there's no comparison between the life that I think Mitt Romney envisions for people and the life that Obama envisions, which is you doing what you want, I think.
Their perspectives are very clear and yeah, very different.
And to me, it's like, if the economy tanks under Obama and... like, it wouldn't have under Mitt Romney. It's just a risk that I'm personally completely willing to take because of the other aspects of what Obama brings to the table. And to me, what Mitt Romney brings, and even the economics of it, are, like, greedy. And I personally, I don't care if it means I'm poor because someone else gets more help. It does not bother me. So I would never vote for a policy that involves me getting the most that I can get. So, I mean, that's just goes against what I would vote regardless.
And at this point in the game, both items that they're both proposing are questionable. We don't know which one is going to work or not work, you know, and we can't say for sure that the places where we see Romney being stronger are guaranteed successes based off of the fact that he's never done this
job
before.
And they haven't worked in the past. He's not even proposing something different. That's what's so weird to me.
And let me also say this point. For everybody who was paying attention to the campaign 4 years ago, Obama stated a zillion times, specifically, he needed 8 years to accomplish what he needed to do. That he said that continuously. Every time he was on the mic, he kept saying, it is going to take 8 years to put these things into place. At that point, he was asking the people who believed in him to give him the 2 terms to do what it is he needed to do. I don't understand people's impatience. It makes no sense. Well, also, and I feel like we're the, hold on, and I also feel like we're also the only country who's really quick to change leaders. Especially when stuff is working. We put such a cap. No other country does that. You have somebody who's running the country and doing a good job, and sometimes you have some that are doing horrible jobs and have to be overthrown by the people. But if you have somebody who's in place handling business, you let them do the job till they can't do the job. We're so impatient and ready to kick people off the job because they don't jump or skip to our loo in the time that we think is possible. And my thing is, if we were willing to give Bush 8...
Who lied to us?
Right.
Who lied to the American people. This is what trips me out, is that we do have a short memory. We forget about, and this is not just about in favor of Obama, but just in general as Americans, it's like we have no recollection of our history. I love when Wood talks about presidents of the past and economic policies of the past, because it means he's well informed about what is the aggregate, what brought us to this point. So many people are so fooled and bamboozled, if you will, by the sound bites. And I'm like, guys, just America, we got to get to a place where, and since this is Black Is Online, Black people, we've got to get to a place where we get past emotional. Okay?
Yeah, that's,
because that's we have to be honest about that. A lot of the vote for President Obama in 2008 was absolutely emotional, and it was because he was the first Black man. But how many people really know about these policies? How many people have gone to the website? How many people read these policies that come into play? Because you don't know how any of this stuff is going to affect you, your grandchildren, the future. So that's something that's just important for Americans in general, is to be more well-read and more aware of what's at stake. And that, for me, is what causes me such concern in this election. Is because, I mean, we say this in every election. Oh, what's at stake? What's at stake? And I know it starts to sound like a broken record. But there are really critical things at stake. When you talk about the next president will be selecting, I've heard in some reports, the next three Supreme Court judges. When you think about the idea that the Republican Party, specifically, a senator said that their number one goal when President Obama was elected was to get him out of the White House, and not at that point realize that we need to think about the American people and what's going on in this country. When you realize we're dealing with another party that allowed the insanity, the embarrassment internationally, that we would question the birth certificate of the standing president as if we were dumb enough to elect someone who was not a citizen, that is embarrassing. And the fact that there is a party that exists that allows that idiotic behavior to go on, it drives me crazy. And that, for me, is the option right now. Is it, do you want to deal with a man who, regardless of politics, because politics are always going to have propaganda attached to them on any side, are you going to deal with a man who has tried to lay down what he wants to do for the country and actually enact it? Are you going to deal with a side that all of they wanted, have wanted to do, like children, is to get the who they lost to out of office? At some point, we've got to grow up as a country. My biggest frustration with politics in this country is that it's not politics anymore. It's like reality TV.
Be sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.